Amen. We have a baby to be dedicated, and that baby is here today. And if you will come forth at this time, we will pray the Lord's blessing as soon as you... She's in the restroom. Okay, well, we'll just wait a few minutes while we get ready to do this. Amen. My daddy dedicated me to the Lord in a very unusual situation because my mother was in jeopardy with the birthing. I was turned wrong in the birth canal. They considered a C-section, but they said probably if they did that, somehow or another, it was so bad. I don't know if it was the umbilical cord, what it was. My dad said, the doctor told him and my mother, if we have a regular birth, the baby may not live anyway, and the mother may be in jeopardy. Well, he went to the bathroom of the hospital in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and he got on his knees in the bathroom, and he said, Lord, if you'll let my wife be okay and let this child live, I give this child to you. Whatever it is, boy or girl, just if it's healthy, I give this child to you. And God took him very, very seriously about that. He takes these things very seriously. So as we're going to anoint this child and ask God's blessing on this child's life, and if anyone would like to stand up here with her, you may come at this time. Amen. But we're going to dedicate this baby to the Lord today, that everyone that has contact and everyone that has anything to do with this child will sow into this child's life the good news about Jesus, hallelujah, and the great, great God that we serve today. I want to read a scripture, and it's about children. It's out of Psalm 78. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Yes. Praise God. So that's what we're praying, that this, and her full name?
His
full name. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of looking at you. All right. That he may know at an early, early, early age the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And I'm going to tell you something. Babies are usually squirming and crying. He's looking at me like he understands every word that I am saying today. Praise God. Amen. I can't wait till he grows up. I'd like to preach to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to dedicate him to the Lord, just like the Bible said, that he might be one of those people that doesn't follow the course of this world or listen to the evil one, but that he chooses his path, and he chooses the path of righteousness, and he follows Jesus Christ. That in this family there's a legacy that is being passed down generation to generation to generation. And this mother will have the primary. Everyone else is secondary. She will have the primary influence. So I'm going to pray that God's hand will be upon her, that God will lead her and guide her and help her to make the choices that will bring God's blessing on her life, on her child, upon her home, and upon her future. So I anoint both mother and I anoint this child today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that your blessing from this moment forward may rest upon them, that you give your angels charge over them, that they not dash their foot upon a stone. This child is now lifted up here before your throne, Father, even as my daddy lifted me up, Lord. And Father, I pray that you will put your hand upon him, and that you will bless him, and you will keep him, and you will call him at an early age, and that you will use him for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good today. He's Spirit of the Lord must have been on him, because I've never seen a baby be that attentive. Amen. They've been squirming. In fact, I've seen few adults that attentive. So, hallelujah. God is so good today. Hallelujah. Amen. We did receive our offering, and we had the offertory song. And if you have your Bibles, just for a few minutes, and we have taken extra time today, and we started late for everyone to gather and start together. We do have Holy Communion in just a few moments. I want to read a verse of Scripture about redemption out of Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. It simply says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is an important word, this word redemption. In fact, all of the other words that describe what Jesus did at the cross do not have value, do not have meaning without this word preceding them. If Jesus had not redeemed us on the cross, then that gift of righteousness could not be granted. Redemption precedes that gift of righteousness. There couldn't be a word like salvation. We couldn't claim to be saved. We couldn't know that we are saved. And God, in fact, couldn't save us without the redeeming blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Amen? Romans 3:24, is that correct? All right, you got it. Good. Being justified. Everybody say justified. I like to interpret that just as if I had never sinned, because I've been justified. That's a forensic term. It's a legal term. It's at home in a courtroom. Amen. If someone is breaking in your house and they're going to harm you and your family, and you have to use deadly force, I hope it never happens, but if it did happen, amen, and they are in your house and they are armed and they mean to do you harm, and you defend yourself and they die in the process, that's called justifiable homicide. You didn't do it with any anger. You didn't do it with any evil intent. You did it to protect your family from the harm that they were certainly going to do. And no court in the world will have anything against you, because you have been justified in your actions. It is a legal term. Amen. Now we have a prosecuting attorney down here called the devil. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren, that accuses them before God day and night. Day and night. He never ceases. He's the accuser. Remember the story of Job? Angels are ascending and descending. You find that throughout the Scripture. We used to sing about Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Amen. Jacob's ladder. The only way he could describe the corridor between heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending was to use the analogy of a ladder. But actually, they don't have to climb all the way up and climb all the way down. Amen. But he saw angels ascending and descending. He saw that God was interacting with man here upon the earth, that angels were involved in God's interaction with man. And one day, as the angels were ascending and descending, an angel showed up from this earth that had been cast down, and he wasn't authorized to be there, but God allowed him to come on up. And when he got there, he found out it was the devil that had been cast out of heaven to the earth. He said, "What are you doing here?" In other words, "I'm getting ready to throw you back down there." But he let him speak, because God knew what he was going to say. We serve a God who is omniscient. He knows. He sees the end from the beginning. We serve a God who He's different than you and me. His knowledge is not limited. And not just knowledge in general, but His foreknowledge. He knew exactly what Peter was going to say and what Peter was going to do before Peter even knew it. Amen. And He knew what the devil was going to say, and He allowed him to say it, because he wanted to prove a point, and he wanted to use Job to do it. He said, "I know what you're..." He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Will a man serve God for nothing?" He said, "I'm here to accuse all these people that you love, all these people that you bless, all these people that you're in covenant with. I'm here to accuse them." In fact, that's what devil means. Diabolos is the Greek word. And it means a maligner. It's somebody that wants to tear you down, destroy your reputation, attack your character. And he does it incessantly. He does it day and night. Revelation chapter 12 said, now is the accuser, Diablos, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Can you say amen? Amen. There's only one element that can cause you and I to rise above the accusations of the enemy and the accusations of our own conscience. And that is applying the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. And confessing what the blood of Jesus has accomplished. Let the redeemed of the Lord indeed say so. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all iniquity. Hallelujah. I love the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. No one has drifted too far that they can't come home. There's no sin too great that God cannot forgive it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love to talk about the blood of Jesus. If we were going to cast out devils today, if someone had come wanting deliverance from a particular thing and we had fasted and prayed and we were going to cast out devils, you know what we would begin that service with? Even if we've done sung the praises of God, when we got ready to deal with demon spirits, we'd start singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Can you say amen? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Why would you do that? Because just before we use the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, we declare what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ as our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And they all knew what that meant. They knew they had to take a lamb. When it happened in the original Passover in Egypt, they had to take a lamb. Amen. And they had to slay the lamb. And they had to dip in the blood of that lamb. And they had to put it on the doorpost of their house. And now it was on both sides and it was on the top. And it dripped from the top to the threshold itself. So that the entire entrance to their home was smeared with the blood of that lamb. And when the death angel passed through Egypt, there was only one thing he was looking for. The devil will nitpick about everything, but God is concerned about this one thing. We can all do more. We can all do better. But God is concerned about one element, one thing. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, hallelujah. Amen. And then, and by the way, the blood of Jesus is no good unless it's applied by faith. Amen. The blood of that lamb, the lamb was slain, the blood was available, and the blood would deliver. But in order for the angel to see the blood had to be applied. And they didn't run down to the Ace Hardware and get a paintbrush or roller. They used a plant that was thick enough that you could sop it in there called hyssop. And they would, that's why, you know, David, when he sinned so greatly, he cried for an application of the blood. Amen. The blood hadn't been shed yet, but all of the forgiveness in the Old Testament was on based of what Jesus was to do to come. The blood of a lamb couldn't do it unless Jesus was going to go to that cross. The blood of an ox couldn't have any value, amen, unless Jesus was going to go to that cross in the future. Amen. So they took it in hyssop. David said in Psalm 50, wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Psalm 51, create in me then a clean heart, O God. Hallelujah. And renew in me a right spirit and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. And restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That word is the Hebrew word for your deliverance. When God comes through, God shows up and God shows out and God answers prayer. When I'm not wrong with God anymore, I'm right with God. So God can legitimately work in my behalf when I call upon His name. Restore that joy unto me. Can you stay, man? Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is moving by His Spirit, Brother Taylor, to get His church so cleansed by the blood of Jesus and so cleansed on the inside by the blood and the outside with the washing of water by the Word. Amen. That anything between us and Him is eliminated and the accuser can't try to disqualify us and God won't disqualify us from the blessings promised and pronounced in the new covenant. I am a blood-washed son of the living God. I was an old sinner. I have been saved by grace. But I'm not that same old sinner that Satan has control over anymore. I have a new master. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a new life in Jesus. And I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the moment that that happens, the Bible qualifies you and calls you redeemed. You've been justified. You have been sanctified. You have been washed, the Bible said. You have been washed. You have been justified. You have been sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. You can't get cleaner than that. We can all do better and should do better, but you can't get cleaner than that. You know how clean God cleansed you on the inside? He cleansed you so clean that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit could live in your physical body and call it His temple. This is a holy thing that we're dealing with today. My greatest incentive to live holy is to know that holy is living in me. You didn't hear me today. My greatest incentive for living holy is because holy is already living in me. Amen? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing? Christ in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What does that mean? That simply means that you know if you're clean enough for Jesus to live in, God the Father to live in, God the Holy Spirit to indwell, you know that you qualify for heaven. Amen. There's no if. There's no and. There's no but. There's no maybe. There's no hope so in this. Because what makes heaven holy is not the golden gates. It's not the angels. It's not the streets of gold. You know what makes heaven holy? The same thing that made the side of a mountain holy. The presence of the Holy One that inhabits that place. Can you say amen? God comes down on a bush on the side of a mountain. What's the first thing He tells Moses? Take off your shoes. You're standing on what kind of ground? Holy ground. What made the ground holy? God's presence on the bush. He comes down on top of Mount Sinai. Can you say, man, what happens? The mountain is made holy by His presence. And the Bible said, don't even let a person except that chosen person that God invited up to hear from Him. But don't let anybody else touch the base of that mountain. And if a rabbit runs or an animal runs or gets away or a dog runs over to the base, amen? You kill it right then and there. Don't let anything touch that mountain. That's how holy it is. Can you say amen? God's presence makes it holy. But through the blood of Jesus, that veil that reminded us that we would never be able to approach a holy God. You say, well, what about the high priest? You know the first thing he had to do? Offer a sin offering for himself before he could even dare to offer a sin offering for the people. He had to go through ceremonial washings. He had to put on a white robe that had nothing but purity in it. You know what else he had to do? They had to put a rope around him. Because if he wasn't qualified enough to walk behind that veil, he would die right then and there. And they had bells on the bottom of his garments. So he jingled and jangled as he walked. And as he ministered the blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. You know what the mercy seat was? It was the top of the ark. That flat part of the top of the ark of the covenant was called the mercy seat. And on either side of that piece of solid gold were angels looking down. Not looking up, but looking down. They're looking at the flat part of that golden lid on the Ark of the Covenant. And he went back there with the blood and sprinkled it on that mercy seat. And they could hear the jingling and jangling. But if the jingling and the jangling quit, they had a rope on him. Because you couldn't go in and get him. Or you'd end up in that same condition. But they could drag him out and get another priest and get him ready and say, boy, you better wash behind your ears. Can you say, man? You better wash between them toes. Can you say, boy, you go back there. You can't go back there. That thick linen veil was a reminder that unholy, fallen man cannot come into a presence of a holy God. But something happened when Jesus said, Tetelesti. Something occurred. Temple worship was occurring while he was being crucified. Lambs were being offered up when he was hanging on the cross. But when he cried, Tetelesti, it is finished. The veil of the temple was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom. And the Bible said, we have not come to the mountain which cannot be touched, but we have come to Zion. Can you say amen? To the city of the living God. Hallelujah. We've come into the presence of holy ones. We've come into the presence of God, and he accepts us because we are the redeemed. We're the ones that Jesus ransomed. As John is being escorted through heaven, in the book of Revelation, he saw people coming out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. Those that had received Christ as their Savior. And he looked at these people coming into the holy city. And he said, who are these? The angel answered him and said, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white. In one element, one thing, in the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. Can you say, man, the whole sacrificial system in the old covenant was based on what Jesus was going to do at the cross. And none of that would have been honored at all if Jesus had not fulfilled his mission to the cross. It was all a foreshadow. And Jesus is a forerunner. Praise God, according to the scripture. Listen to this carefully. Jesus has paid it all. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Without redemption, the other great words that describe our condition and position after being saved would be of none effect. If sin's debt's not paid in full, we're not saved. We're not justified. We could never be sanctified. If we still owe a sin debt, we're enslaved by Satan. We're the enemies of God. We're not able to enter into a fellowship relationship with God. And we have absolutely no spiritual authority. But because of redemption, every other word is validated that has to do with what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many has ever had jury duty? Pretty awesome thing to walk into a courtroom and you know that judge sitting up there, if a jury finds you guilty, that judge has the right and the responsibility to follow the letter of the law and to give you the sentence that is due. Amen? It's actually scary. People are not as casual and as you know, combative as they are. You can be held in contempt of court if you interrupt those proceedings. There's a very solemn atmosphere about that. I was there recently. But when that judge says that you are not guilty and you are acquitted, you have been justified, you walk out free and you can walk by all the popo. Amen. You can walk by all the sheriff. You can walk by the U.S. Marshals. Come on, you can walk by the police, you can walk by the detectives, you can walk by the jailer, amen, you can walk by them all and not have to say, oh Lord, if they see me, I'm sunk. You don't have to run, you don't have to worry, you don't have to fear, because you have been justified. And that's what the Bible is saying. Through the redemption that is in Jesus, you have been justified. Amen. The enemy can make accusations all day long, but he simply cannot prosecute you because the judge won't prosecute you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is now. Paul argued with the flesh just like us. Everybody say, argued with the flesh. He had a real battle. And I always tell people, if you're having battles with the flesh, that's a good thing. Amen. That means you're not giving in to the enemy and there's a struggle going on. Every real Christian in this room is going to struggle with the flesh. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, and this is that man that is trying to live out the letter of the law. He knew about that. He said, boy, I've got credentials here. I mean, I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And by the way, concerning the law, I am blameless. That was his credentials, amen, till he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then those religious credentials had to fall away, amen, because you're saved by grace. Through faith. It is not of works, no matter how good and great that they are. Can you say amen? In fact, the Bible said your righteousness. And we're called to be righteous people. But your presentation of your righteousness without this redemptive sacrifice that was shed for you, this blood, is as a filthy rag at the very best. We cannot present ourselves to God and say we're worthy. But we can be presented to God.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to be presented to the Father by His own Son. And Jesus is going to show him what he shows him every day. He ever lives to make intercession. He's going to show him the nail prints every day and declare, they believed on me. And for his sake, we are forgiven. For his sake, we are saved. And that makes me want to live for him and serve him with everything I am and everything I have. Can you say amen? So communion is designed to remind us of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, paid in full. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not worth that to anybody in this world. Not that. Amen. Hallelujah. Not what he did. But I'm worth it to him.
Yes.
You're worth it to him.
Yes.
You're worth it to him. You're worth it to him. What gives you value is not what you accomplish in this world. And you may accomplish some great things, but that's not what your true worth is gauged by, is how men receive you and applaud you and respect you. It's that God loved you enough to give his own son in your place that he might save you. That's a love that I'm still trying to comprehend. Amen. But I accept it by faith, Brother Taylor. I know that God loved me enough. And Paul said that is the open door to faith to believe for every other promised blessing and provided blessing. He said, if God loved us enough, this is what he said. This is his own words. If God loved us enough to give his only begotten son for us. Did he? Yes, he did. Did Jesus love us enough to stay on the cross? Yes, he did. He said, how will he not? How can it be possible that he would give his son and withhold anything else? that He has purposed and provided through the cross. Does that make any sense to you? If He would give His Son for you, how will He not also, with Him, freely give you all things? Praise God. Everything that has been accomplished at Calvary is available to you and me. Because God gave His Son. He said, there's nothing that I have purposed and promised that I will withhold from you. Because I've already given the greatest gift at the greatest cost. Can you say amen? And there's everything else. Healing, deliverance, help in the time of trouble, answered prayer. Hallelujah. God says, expect it. Believe me for it. I've given my Son for you. Let your faith rise up and take hold of what I provided for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. See, it all goes back to salvation. Everything goes back to the cross. If we understand, appreciate, and appropriate, apply the blood of Jesus to be saved. Receive Christ as your Savior. The blood is applied. Apply the blood of Jesus when the enemy accuses you. Can you say amen? Because they overcame Him by that blood. He said they're not worthy. But the blood says they are. He said they're not worth it. But the blood of Christ says yes they are. He says they'll never be good enough. But the blood of Jesus says you're wrong. They're justified. Sanctified. And they're going to be glorified when Jesus comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been so afraid to preach the depths of His grace because we're afraid people use it as a license to sin. Honey, the closer I get to His holiness, the more I want to live righteous before Him. It don't make me want to sin. It makes sin aberrant to me. But I struggle with the flesh just like you do. There's another enemy that accuses, and it's your own conscience. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that our conscience is to be sprinkled from evil. We're talking about sprinkling. At one time, Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. They sprinkled it, amen, on the mercy seat. The angels are looking for the blood again. Same thing, they're not looking up. Both angels on the top are looking down. If you ever see an artist's conception, according biblically and theologically, the angels are not looking up to God. They're looking down on that mercy seat. Why? Because when I see what? The blood. The blood. The blood. I will pass over you. This is not about your feelings anymore. This is about your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You don't wait and see because you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who are these people that are coming into God's holy city out of every kindred, tongue, and nation? These are they who have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And the reason the judgments are going to be so severe, how shall we escape judgment if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Amen. What defense will anybody have? God gave His Son. Christ gave His life. He shed His blood. And He offers it to you and said, I want you in my kingdom. I want you to be saved. It's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Praise God. What a God that we serve today. I love to celebrate the name of Jesus, and I love to celebrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Our time is almost gone, although we don't have a time limit, but we are aware that time is quickly passing. We cannot be righteous before God without redemption. We cannot have faith without redemption. We could never approach God's throne with confidence without redemption. We would be filled with doubt and fear. But Jesus redeemed us. The Bible said He's redeemed us to God, but He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. For the wages of sin has not changed. It's still death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, separation, eternal banishment and punishment from the presence of God.
Amen.
It's called the second death in the book of Revelation. Do you know there's going to be a resurrection? Everybody's going to get resurrected. Christians are not the only one coming back to life. Everybody that's ever died from Adam will be raised from the dead.
Amen.
The Bible said at that great white throne judgment, by the way, you're not going to be there if you know Christ and you've applied the blood. You'll be at the judgment seat of Christ where rewards are the issue. Or being ashamed of not doing what we should have done or could have done more will be the issue. But your salvation is not an issue at that throne. You're in heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But there is a throne. Amen. And it said books were opened. And everyone whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen to me carefully. This, the Bible said, is the second death. This is the eternal punishment, eternal banishment from the presence of God. Amen. Listen carefully. The sea gave up her dead. The earth gave up her dead. It's the unrighteous dead having to stand and be judged where they're going to spend eternity. Everybody's coming back to life. Everybody's going to stand before His throne, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then it said something else about you and me if you're a Christian today. Blessed and holy is He who hath part in the first resurrection. Woo! Over whom the second death has no power. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen at the first resurrection? The Bible said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. Heard the story of the lady in church. She was widowed, but she had a lot of money. So there were several of the older widowed men who were, you know, wanting to court her. And they kept bugging her and bothering her. And she's, you know, she just wasn't interested in another relationship. You know, she says, I'm fine now. I'm doing good. I'm set for life. I don't have to cook except for myself if I want to. I don't have to wash clothes. I don't have to do a whole lot of things I used to do. I'm kind of put loose and fancy free, laid back. Yeah. And so all these men kept hitting on her. So she said, Pastor, may I say something? She stood up and she looked at those three men. She said, I'm going to quote a scripture today. I would not have you ignorant brethren. Well, it wasn't exactly quoted that way. I would not have you to be ignorant brethren. And he said, now this I say by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not surmising. I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God Himself. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, those that have preceded us through physical death. Amen. That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Can you say amen? Amen. For if we believe that God raised up Jesus from the dead, amen. When He comes, amen, He's going to raise them up from the dead, just like He did Him, His own Son. He said, for the Lord Himself is going to... See, this is the first resurrection I'm talking about. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you say amen? It's done. And unto them that look, He shall appear the second time without sin. That doesn't mean that He's sinless. That's a given. We know that. It means in this coming for His church and for His saints, He's not coming to judge sin. He's coming because sin has been judged and we have been justified.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. On that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a great getting up morning coming. And if you're not saved near a cemetery, you may need CPR. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because it's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's called the first blessed and holy, sanctified through the blessed and holy is he that hath part. And who are they? The dead in Christ. Can you say amen? Woo! Ain't no grave. I'm from Kentucky. This come by Brother Ely. Others have sung it, but Brother Ely, who sang at my wife's grandfather's funeral, who was a Pentecostal preacher, worked in the coal mine. I married the coal miner's daughter right here. Hey, amen. Listen to me. Hey, amen. Ain't no grave, he used to sing. Gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground, because there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. Well, he used to sing the second verse to that. Tommy Bates still does it, because he's out of Kentucky and out of the mountains. That's not just a mountain song of hope. That is an actual fact and reality. Amen. Paul put it this way, because Jesus conquered death. Amen. He said, death, 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 where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't let the devil accuse you anymore. Don't let your conscience accuse you anymore. Walk in the reality of sins forgiven. Can you say amen? Let the redeemed say so. I'm redeemed, we used to sing. By love divine, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful, wonderful word. Everything hinges on the redemptive work of Jesus at the cross. That's why we plead the blood of Jesus. There are people that put that down and say it's just a kind of a Pentecostal thing. No, it's not. The blood of Jesus is something. It's the word of our testimony. The blood was shed and we testify to what it has accomplished. And we overcome the enemy. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every born again Christian has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. When we come to Holy Communion, that's what we're celebrating. That we are saved. For one reason, because of one element. There are people that say the blood of Jesus was no different than anyone else's blood. Then you can't overcome the devil and his accusations. See, the devil doesn't have to lie when he accuses us. Because there's none righteous. Completely, I'm talking about sin-free righteous. Sinlessly perfect righteous. There's none. None. And everybody thinks they know somebody, and some people actually think it's themselves. So the Bible said there's none righteous? No. He knew us, didn't he? He knew. And there's some religious people that think the practice of their religion in and of itself will save them. He said, no, not one. In fact, Jesus' greatest problem getting that point across was with those self-righteous religious people that didn't see the need for a Savior. He didn't have no problem with me. I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew that I needed forgiveness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I am so glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been living a glad life for that fact. In spite of all the other ups and downs of life, I'm saved today. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Let me make a couple more quick points and we'll receive communion. Paul said, when I would do good in Romans 7, evil presents itself. He said, I find a law in my members. The flesh wars against the spirit. He said, those things I would do, I have a problem doing. Those things I wouldn't do, I find myself giving in to. One of the most sanctified people that I ever knew was a pastor. She's a lady evangelist, pastor lady. She was the epitome of holiness. She dressed and looked in her hair and her speech. And she talked about not touching the unclean thing. I mean, they wouldn't, you know, unclean things just run from her. I looked at her and I said, Lord, have mercy. We were living right, as you know, as right as anyone can live, but we were intimidated. We thought, man, we've never seen anybody walking the chalk like this lady walked the chalk. Sanctified lady. And she finally opened up one day, and we let us see that she had the same struggles with the flesh as everyone else. She said, you know, I got a neighbor. I got the worst neighbor. It has been a thorn in my side for years. And she said, I was in my backyard. That was back before all the, you know, she said, I was in the backyard tending to some flowers, and said it was a nice day. She'd just been talking to the Lord in tongues and praising Him and everything else. And she said that lady come over some little old something, come over to the fence, leaned over the fence, and began to curse me for everything that there ever was. She said, you know, she said, I walked over to the fence. Said, I just walked over to the fence. Say, what is wrong with you? You know, what is your problem? You know, she walked over to the fence, said that lady continues to cuss and spit in her face, not purposely spit, but you know, like I do when I preach. And she said, Brother Ben, before I knew it, I slapped her face. I just popped her one. I thought, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I might have, but you did not do that. Don't tell me you did that. No, you're way too sanctified. I remember the preacher one time. Amen. He was a Canadian preacher with a healing ministry. A guy come up and said after the service, because his wife had got saved, wouldn't go to the bar with him anymore, and he'd mad at the preacher. Amen. He come up to him after the service, and he said, after the service, I'm going to stomp you. And he was right there in the healing line. He said, he said, I lost it for a minute, and I told him. I said, back where I come from, we stomp one another. Then somebody told him, said, well, didn't the Bible say turn the other cheek? He said, yeah, I'm going to give him one shot. It didn't say what to do after that. So take your best shot, buddy, because that's the only one you're going to get. That's the flesh. When I would do good, what is it? Up jumped the devil. Self-righteousness. Can't live it out. Tried it and failed. He said, "What I find a law, the flesh and the spirit are always going to be at war." And he got so tired of trying to live that out without the Holy Spirit, without the redemption, without applying the blood of Jesus, without Jesus in him. Just him trying to meet all the standards of the law. He got wore down. He got wore thin. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Wretched means worn out after a battle. When you're battle fatigued, you've fought and you have failed and you've fought and failed until there's almost no fight left in you. He said, oh, wretched, worn out to where there's just no fight left in you. Man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? And if he had left it there, we'd still be in a hopeless place and we'd be a hopeless case. But he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He'll do it. He has made the way. He has provided a way for me. Hallelujah. To be delivered from the enemy and to overcome the flesh and the world about me and the culture. And then he jumps. Now your Bible is written in chapter and verse and they are numbered for the sake of accuracy. But it was written as an ongoing letter. Romans 7 just continues into Romans 8. It ends with, "O wretched man that I am." Amen. But I thank God through Jesus Christ. And the next verse in Romans 8 said, "There is now." Because what Jesus did at the cross, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Can you say amen? You can live a Christian life. You can overcome because you've been justified and you have been sanctified. And you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? What a Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. Redemption plays a central role in biblical theology. The basic shape of the doctrine is formed in the Old Testament, but the full meaning of all that God has eternally in mind is unveiled in the New Covenant. The Old Testament is looking forward to the cross and the whole sacrificial system. And even the temple itself. Someday we're just going to study the tabernacle for a while. The tabernacle itself. Everything in it was symbolic of Christ and His redemptive work. Every piece of furniture. Wow. The veil, the curtain, the thread used in it. All the colors were representative of Christ and His redemptive work at the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. I'm going to say something that I'm a pastor evangelist. Because of the media, we're reaching out from here. So I wear both hats. But I want you to know that sometimes there's a prophetic word. And I'm going to acknowledge that without being shamefaced. I'm not a prophet, the son of a prophet. I'm a pastor evangelist. It's my office, my calling. But I do not predict, but I feel unctioned by the Spirit of God, the great revival that we're praying for and that God wants to send to the church, not just this church, is not going to be based on a multi-gifted, highly anointed evangelist to spearhead it. We have had that in the past. They all, without exception, fizzled after a while. Thank you for the hearty amens. They fizzled. And in some cases, the evangelists themselves failed because people put them on a pedestal and they begin to think of themselves as more higher than they ought. It's hard for man to handle praise that should go to God and to God alone. Pride enters, and when pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But the great revival, that sweeping revival that I believe will last till Jesus comes. Because I believe He's coming soon. And I believe He wants to sweep tens of thousands of souls into the kingdom. Amen. Before His coming. And the great revival is when the church of Jesus Christ wakes up to the fact that instead of waiting for someone or something to happen, we begin to get a real understanding, appreciation of what has happened. And we go right back to the cross, look right up to Jesus dying for us, and say, "Church is going to be different this Sunday. I'm not going to just go in and sit down and say, 'Bless me if you can.' I'm going to say, 'Lord, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to exalt your name. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. Hallelujah. I'm going to celebrate you. Hallelujah. With joy shall you draw water from where? The wells of salvation. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, Lord." Then you talk about effective evangelism. When the church is on fire because she's saved, she's redeemed, and she's saying so. Hallelujah. Amen. "Create in me, wash me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Then sinners will be converted unto thee, and transgressors will learn your ways. Can you say amen? Church gets revived. The world takes notice. Praise God. We point them to Jesus, and many of them are going to be saved. The church doesn't celebrate salvation. We don't celebrate salvation. Then the world isn't buying what we're telling them. Can you say amen? But if they see us realizing the full benefit of the cross, walking in the joy of His salvation, hallelujah, rejoicing in God, having our prayers answered, seeing God come through, praise God. The world sits up and says there's more than religious ritual going on in those people. Can you say amen? They know God and God knows them. Praise the Lord. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. Praise God. That's worth more than rubies and silver and gold. Can you say amen? And the riches of this world. That's why the devil ain't going to make no punk out of me. Amen? He ain't gonna punk me. Amen? You come and worship me, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. You mean I'm going to trade this that I have in Christ? I'm going to put my soul out there on the line for sinful pleasure for a moment in a body that is already aging. Amen. I'm headed for eternity, man. You ain't got nothing. This world is going to pass away. Everything in it is going to be brought to nothing. But they that do the will of God will abide forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Take this whole world. Give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, if we just got the alumni back in church. The backslider. Coming home. You know, God's ready to put a robe on them, ring on their finger, kill the fatted calf and celebrate their return. If we just get the people that have known Him drifted away, let the world overcome them to realize that you don't belong out there. And I'm not talking about this building, but you belong in the kingdom. You belong in God's house with God's people worshiping the God that saved you. What a wonderful God that we serve today. So in communion today, the theme is His redemption. You take that act of God, the redeeming work of Jesus at the cross, you take that away. Salvation doesn't occur. That word is meaningless. Deliverance does not occur. We're lost, hopeless, and helpless. But when you place the redemptive work of Jesus between fallen man and a holy God, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, priest goes in behind the curtain, sprinkles it on the mercy seat. Both holy angels are looking squarely at the mercy seat. What are they looking for? Are they looking at the golden lid, admiring the gold and the beauty? No, they're looking at the blood of that innocent lamb that is being sprinkled in behalf of the nation of Israel. When I see the blood, I see that he's always looking for that one element. There's a preacher out there preaching, and several of them now, that it was Jesus dying, that the blood itself had no real value, that his, and these are supposed to be theologians, and they're teaching that today. I just have to tell you, I'm here to proclaim it, not declare it, not debate it, but I'm going to have to say this to you. Amen. You just get in the Bible, you're going to find that it's the blood of those sacrifices sprinkled. It's the blood applied. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's mysterious. Amen. It's something I don't fully understand. Jesus said, don't let me go after the resurrection. And they laid hold on him. They didn't want to let him go. We thought we'd lost him. Here you are. And they laid hold on him. And he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. There's a real mercy seat in heaven. Not a symbolic one. Something spiritual occurred in the heavenlies. For the blood of Christ didn't just drip beneath that cross, but it was applied to the mercy seat in heaven. Can you say amen? And the Bible said because it has been applied and because God is looking for that element, amen, the Bible said that He's able to save them, that you and me and every other person that comes to Him for salvation, to apply the blood to the uttermost. In other words, you can't get saved any more than He saved you. There's nothing you can add to what He has done. You can live a whole life and all eternity to thank Him for it, but there's nothing you can do to earn it or add to it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. He's able to save to the uttermost, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for us. Is He just pleading with God not to judge us? No. He's placed His blood on the mercy seat. Because He knows His Father said, that's what I'm looking for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The day I received Jesus as my Savior, spiritually, somehow, the blood of Jesus was applied to my heart. Amen. The day you received Christ, if you have, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart. It's made you holy enough that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can come and live. In fact, the Bible said they can make their abode with you. And you know what abode means? It means to feel at home. When God, who lives in the highest heaven, who stayed behind the linen veil, can now feel at home in you. Are you that good? No. Am I that good? No. Has the blood of Jesus done something for us that qualifies us beyond anything we could do? Yes, it has. Hallelujah. So the Bible calls the Holy Spirit's presence in our life the earnest of our inheritance. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because if He can live within you here and now, you can live with Him then and forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Let there be no doubt about it today. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, it's time to be served Holy Communion. Everybody say, this blood. This blood. That's what we're going to celebrate here. That's what we're going to focus on here today. I asked the Lord this morning on the way to this service, I said, Lord, without the Holy Spirit moving in hearts, I know I can't do anything. I'm so limited. Your word has power, but only the Holy Spirit can take it, plant it in the heart. Only the heart can open up to receive it today. But I want you to know that somewhere, somehow, amen, God is going to get through to the people who open their heart in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And somebody here today, if you need Jesus, before we receive communion, would you please just come. Just come. Just come. Feel free to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Yes, ma'am. What would you like Him to do today? Okay, you have a sick daughter and she needs prayer. This is a preliminary to communion and it's okay because this is a prayerful time while we're being served. Would you stretch your hand this way? What does your daughter need? She's sick. She's sick. She needs healing today. Amen. I love to go to God for healing simply because I know His will in this matter. And I know that when we go to Him for anything, we come to a throne of grace that we might obtain grace to help in the time of any need. So the first thing He offers is grace, unmerited favor to your daughter. I don't know where she is, where she needs to be, but I know this, the goodness of God leads men and women to a place of repentance. It's always His goodness that operates in our life. Father, I anoint in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand in the gap today that we might make up the hedge for this daughter. I've stood in for my son. My wife has stood in for my son. And Lord, even though the hands have been laid and the oil has been placed, Lord, we still stand in that gap to make up that hedge. So, Lord, as this mother stands in the gap and makes up the hedge right now in intercessory prayer, we pray for this daughter to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free if she's committed any sin, that they also may be forgiven, that she will look to you, turn to you, and, Lord, become wholly yours in this process. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and for the glory of God, and for any children involved, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, cover them today. Cover them today. Cover them today. Cover them today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pray for your loved ones. For this is the time of the ingathering. And I want to bring your family into my fold. Cover them with my spirit. Seal them with my spirit. For the day of the redemption of your body draweth nigh, saith God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's time to stand in the gap again for our families. Praise God. I'm looking for some good things to occur, healing and help and whatever else is needed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, absolutely. Let's stand in the gap for Alice today. She's got the burden on her heart, and we are continuing to pray. But when God burdens your heart, it's fine to come, because you're that person that God has said, I want to use you to be that point of contact, and that others may join you in prayer. Father, we pray for Alice today. Her hope is in you. Her heart is set upon you. And Lord, she's in your hands, and we stand in the gap for her today. We pray for her. We want to keep her as long as we can. So Lord, if there's anything needs fixing, Lord, we pray that you will fix it today. In the name of Jesus Christ, and let her live as long as you, Lord, have determined, and live out her days. In Jesus' name, and for the glory of God, we ask it. Amen and amen. Did you need prayer today? We're going to do this before communion. It's perfectly all right. You know, services don't go the way we plan them. They just go as God begins to lead and direct them. And if the Lord's moving on hearts, that's the time, amen, to let the service go that way. Amen. This young man is living in a culture. It's hard enough to live for God right now, and I'm 67. And I still have battles in certain areas. You say, Brother Venable, what areas are they? None of your beeswax. Can you say amen? Amen. But I can tell you that I have the same struggles that anybody else has. But I can also tell you that these battles can be won and will be won in the name of Jesus Christ today. Amen. Father, Lord, we are upstream Christians in a downstream world. And Lord, let this young man today, Lord, who is pulled, I know he's pulled by his peers and the culture about him, like we were never pulled when we were that same age. But, oh God, in the name of Jesus, cover him with your spirit, cleanse him with your blood, and Father, in the name of Jesus, sanctify him holy unto you, and give him the victory that Paul was talking about. He can overcome. He will overcome. He will be able to follow you all the days of his life and have part in the first resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I appreciate you today, my brother. We're standing with you, believing for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. That's the song. Let's just praise him. In fact, we're going to have the song after communion, because we're already holding it in our hands and celebrating leaving. Same night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he tore it in half. Good. Go ahead and break the wafer, if you will. Just snap it. He tore it in half. And he shocked them. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Not that it was actually his body, but it was symbolic of what was going to happen to him. And he was scourged and finally impaled upon the cross. And he said, "As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me." So today, Lord, we remember your body, visage marred more than any man's. We thank you for taking the pain, the punishment, that we might be redeemed. You paid the price. It began with your body being broken so that your blood could be spilled out. And we thank you for all the suffering that involved in our behalf. You may eat the bread. Then Jesus picked up the cup. He shocked them again. He said, "This is the New Testament, literally the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do show and declare openly and publicly the Lord's death till he come." Today I'm declaring with you, every one of you that is saved today, I'm declaring that through the blood of Jesus Christ, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am saved. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, I just open my heart that all the cleansing provided through the Word and through the blood would be applied to my life. I confess the sins that I know and the ones that I don't see, show them to me, that I can confess them before you. I want to be clean when I leave this room today, that there be no occasion for the enemy to accuse me or my conscience to condemn me. For Lord, I know that I'd be right with you and I don't have to fear you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just say it? This blood. This blood. Hallelujah. Let's worship him with this wonderful choir up in the